Hi. I'm supposed to tell you how to pronounce my name. It's Valerie Kleberod. That's the Bohemian pronunciation, but in Atwood they just say Klebard. But it's been pronounced a lot of times many other ways, like Schlebard or Chili Bird. So it's Klebard. But I guess I just have to give all glory to the Lord, because when He changes you, He changes you all the way. And I'm still a work in progress, but He has done so much in my life. And I just want to give Him all glory and praise. And I want you to know God is well able, no matter what is going on in your life, that He is well able to make us completely overcome. And that's what I'm learning. He's breaking my strength, and He's becoming my strength. I'm eating the bread of life. I'm learning not to eat my own bread and learning to eat Him and drink from Him. And so, and the Lord talks to me a lot in visions. What He does is He walks me through the walk and of what He's working in me and out of me. And in that process, He makes manifest what He's doing in me in visions and dreams, and helps me understand, I guess, Him and His kingdom. And so I hope, my hope is that it'll just be bread to you, and that there'll be a portion that God can feed you with from Himself. And it's a whole bunch of pages. Oh, was that me? But I just hope it blesses you. And what God is doing right now is, I mean, we're getting close to the end of the age. We really are. It's probably going to seem longer to us than it is to them up there, because they're just verging and ready to come down. But it is at the door. And I think that's why the Lord is accelerating what He's doing in our lives. You know, and He's doing a quick work and cutting it short in righteousness. But I know probably most of you heard the first vision God gave me of the heavenly host and the angels and the clouds of witnesses. And you know, that's kind of when it all started. But He just continues to do visions and just make Himself manifest. So I think I'll just start reading and interject in between and see how that goes, and just share my heart. And Lord, just let it be a blessing in Jesus' name. I feel a constant need to enter into intercession for myself so that God can continually break my strength, my ability to deliver myself, because my ability always brings me back to me and has no power to deliver me from Satan's kingdom or his lies. I find that my strength, my arm, has no power to keep me from the sins that dwell in my flesh. So more and more, I continually feel the need, the consuming need, to press into Jesus, to press past all that I am, and to take hold of all that He is, to enter the groan of intercession where Jesus and the Father completely consume me and all my strength, that He completely consumes all that I lean toward. I find that as I'm entering this intercession with the Lord, that He is breaking me and my abilities to rescue myself. And in this intercession, He is transferring to me His very self, His very presence. I'm eating the Lamb, the bread of life. I'm drinking from his well. The more I enter this with Jesus, the more I find a constant groan as if Christ is bringing something forth. The travail of intercession is birthing the man-child. His kingdom is coming forth in me through this process. I sense a constant death of me and a constant rising of Christ. And I see the cross more and more always before me. So that's what I, you know, the Lord is doing. I sense a pressing in, and I know probably all of you are sensing that, almost like you need to run into your affliction and run into your suffering so that you can just go right into it, and then God, you die, and then God raises you up. He rises Christ in you. There's a song by Bebo Norman. Does anybody know who Bebo Norman is? I think the name of the song is I Am a Barren Land, or I Want to Run into the Deep and Let the Deep Call Out to Me. I Want to Lose Myself in Your Love. I don't know the name of the song exactly, but to me, this song is really prophetic, and it's a song that I go to when I need to enter in to allow the Lord to deliver me from myself. If you guys hear that song, you can Google it up on the internet probably, or you have it at home. But if you listen to the words of that song, it's like learning how to swim in waters. The waters to swim in, you know how it says you're to the ankles and the knees. But this song is like waters to swim in, where God wants to bring us to where we're totally consumed in Him, so that He can just lead us where He wants us to go. And now I'm going to get into the vision, visions. And the Lord gave me a vision around the first part of January. The first thing I noticed in the vision was complete darkness. All I could see was darkness. But in the darkness, you could feel momentum, a going forward. And as I understood this, I could feel my feet going forward, but still the darkness never left the vision. As I was moving forward and my foot came down, wherever my foot came down, all of a sudden there was light and land all around my feet. Then my foot would move forward again, and all I could see was complete darkness. But always in the darkness, you could feel momentum moving forward. Then my foot would come down again as I took another step, and as my foot came down, light shone all around my feet, and where the light shined, I could see land. This kept going on and on. I didn't have any fear of the darkness. I just didn't understand why it was there. And as the Lord usually does when He gives me a vision, many times I don't completely understand all of it. So I ask Him, what does it mean? Sometimes He tells me right away, and other times He walks me through what I call stuff, and what you could call you through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. To break it down even more, the day-to-day of what He's working in me and out of me. Well, about a week went past since the Lord gave me this vision, and every day it was still on my mind because I wanted to understand what the darkness was. So I asked the Lord again, what was the darkness? And He said, it's me, Valerie. When He said this, I understood that it had to do with trust, faith, and complete dependence on Him, and that He is working out of us, purging from us all self-reliance, and that it is Him that is moving us forward in the darkness. Christ in us, the new man, is coming to maturity and entering the land. The new creation is coming forth. I understood when the Lord told me that the darkness was Him, that it's my soul that He's teaching to lean in and to press in to Him, to Jesus and the Father. The revelation was that the darkness is a blessing from the Father. The darkness is Him. He hides Himself in a cloud to teach us to trust, to get us where He wants us to go. It's kind of exciting. I understood He was telling me this because it would break all the chains that still bound me, or that still bind me. After He said all this to me, then His holy fire just came into my home again and just started burning through me, just burning. And all you can say when that happens is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And my flesh feels like it is burning away, and that I'm exploding out of Adam and being translated into resurrection life while still in my flesh. All you can say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, as if He is letting you taste the resurrection. And I don't know what the resurrection tastes like, but I think it'll be something like that, something in there. Then He showed me the darkness again of the vision, and I was walking as I was walking forward, and my foot went down, light and land showed up. And to me, this is the most profound part of the vision. In the darkness, I could see my arm and my hand reaching forth, not physically, but spiritually, because the darkness was still everywhere. And spiritually, as I put my arm and hand forth in the darkness, then the Lord's arm and hand came out of heaven and took a hold of mine. He is taking all self-reliance out of us and self-confidence so that he can lead us where he wants us to go, where he wants us to go. I'm starting to understand. I mean, we know it's all him, and, you know, we just know it's all him, but it's still something we have to enter into. There's this, you know, there's that entering in. He loves us and he is fighting for us. Like Pastor Thompson has said so many times, we have seen being reconciled to God from our point of view, not from God's. But God is zealous to have back what was stolen from him. He's hungry for us. He's hungry, and he will have us back. Satan will not win. The kingdom of darkness is and will be defeated, and God's kingdom and rule will come and be done in earth as it is in heaven. For he has proclaimed it, and it shall be. And his love for us is that fierce. And he is fighting for us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? We are entering the land and putting our confidence in the Lord. Our strength is the arm of the Lord, mighty to do battle. It's the Lord of hosts. The Lord is putting the war cry in our hearts. Joshua and Caleb with swords drawn in their hands, shouting the war cry against our strong enemies in our land and personality. Part of the deliverance is the war cry that God is putting in our hearts, shouting, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus will deliver us from our strong enemies. And that's what the vision was showing me, that God is well able. Because it will be not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Learning to lean and walking in the daily light he gives as we eat bread with him. He came to set the captives free, to break the heavy yoke. His kingdom will rule, and there will be shouts of joy and praise to the one who has come and the one who is coming. He rides on our praises. He rides on our worship. And this to me is so just beautiful, because when you enter into worship, when you're entering into warfare with the Lord and you just worship him, he literally rides on your worship. And he literally rides on your praise and just glory, his glory. You just give him glory when you enter into that affliction and go past it to the throne. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Oh, he laughs at your strong enemies, and they are nothing to him, and we will laugh with him. And what I'm learning about this is what I'm reading next. It's this, and you all know this. Draw near in the secret place of the Most High, and you will eat with him there. You will break bread and have fellowship, and he will take your strength away, and you will walk forward in him and his strength. And the chains will break as you enter the kingdom. The war cry, the Lord will rise in your heart to make straight the way of the Lord. The King of righteousness is at the door. The King of glory is coming, and he is taking back what is his, and we will be with him in his taking back. Until every enemy is under our feet, and he shall reign, the exercise of sovereign power. And this next vision of the swords that the Lord showed me, I was being oppressed. The Lord was delivering me from some strong things. And for 3 weeks, I had to walk, I had to enter worship in the secret place. You know, just oppressed. I wasn't, you know, the gates of hell were trying to prevail against me. And for 3 weeks, it just wouldn't lift. And what I'm finding out is we really have an enemy. You know, he is, I mean, he, and that's what's so, you know, as you keep walking with the Lord, he lets you see who your enemy is. And he gives you revelation of who he is so that you can counterattack him. And so that he no longer has authority over you. But it was a real hard struggle for 3 weeks. And I just kept going. You know, I kept praising and worshiping the Lord and entering into intercession and loving him. But the heaviness wasn't lifting. And 2 weeks or 2 days before it left, I was watching the news with my husband. And Jesus came down and he just hugged me. And he just hugged me and said, "I love you." And I don't even know if I can say it in correct English or bring it up, but it was as if he was saying, thank you that you're entering into that fellowship, that you're enduring, that you're just, and just the love was unbelievable. And then he went back up. But he said, I just love you. And the oppression still hadn't left. And then I just bawled because of his great love. But 2 days after that, when I went to have worship with Jesus to enter in, and that's when it was the most intense. And I put the worship music on. I almost left the room to not worship. And in the instant that I turned around, in that same instant, I turned back around and I put the music on. And I just started worshiping Jesus. And I said, you know, why so downcast, oh my soul, put your hope in God. And I just started worshiping Jesus. And then the deliverance came and the oppression lifted. But after this victory, the Lord, this is what the vision he showed me. And the reason I'm understanding why he showed it to me, it's because it's part of our testimony. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our life to the death. And there was a death that I had to die, and God had to get me there. But there's that testimony. And you'll understand when I read the vision. I also saw in vision the world, and around the world, thick darkness where Satan dwells. Then above that thick darkness and all around it, I saw the glory of the Lord. Then, as I was watching all of this, double-edged swords coming up all over the world. And I understood it to be the body of Christ on earth. And those swords were piercing through the darkness, and those swords were light. And they pierced right through the darkness into the highest heaven where God's glory shone. And the glory went back down through the darkness to the earth where the church on earth was. And the glory of the Lord covered the earth as the waters covered the sea. As I was watching this, you could see the kingdom of darkness and the demons shirking back in terror under the submission and authority of Christ. I actually saw the whole kingdom of hell go, and I could see the terror of the demons and the terror of Satan, because as we realize who we are in Jesus, you know, he doesn't have power over us because we believe the truth, and the truth sets us free. And it was just amazing. As I was watching this happen, they came under the submission and authority of Christ. The Lord was saying to me, the groan of the war cry will be coming into your heart and spirit, and you will conquer your very strong enemies. You will be bringing down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing captive into every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And he shall rule. Jesus shall be ruler of your heart. Deuteronomy 33:29 says, happy, Asher, are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall cringe before you, and you shall tread upon their high places. And God wants us to tread upon the high places, because that brings the kingdom, that brings Jesus. And he will make that revelation, you know, as we keep going forward. When I saw the visions of the swords going through the thick darkness to the throne of God, the swords were brilliant with light, and around the swords were worship, as if the swords slipped through the atmosphere in the worship to Jesus and the Father. As I set my heart to worship, especially when it was very difficult to enter in, I found, as I would say the word of God, fighting through the opposing atmosphere, as I pushed through with worship, because the spiritual darkness is there fighting against us to keep us from going to the throne. Their objective is for us not to enter in, not to push through. So as I pushed through with worship and saying the word forcefully, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." It was as if I was cutting through or slicing swords through the air against my strong enemies. Through the worship and the word, the atmosphere had to give way to the spirit. And it thrust through the darkness, violently ripping away the lies and high thoughts that were exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. They had to give way to the truth. God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and truth. Then the glory of the Lord came through the atmosphere and broke the heavy yoke and the lies that Satan was throwing toward me. In worship, I started throwing back the truth, the word forcefully, saying, "You shall not have authority over me." And I praised him. And I said, "Even if there is no fruit on the vine, I will praise him." I said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." And I praised him. I used my sword to bring my worship to God. I pressed into the words and gave God glory. And it was after this fight that the Lord showed me the vision. And then he let me see the heavenly hosts again in heaven. And they said, "That's it. That's it. It's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." The Lord was wanting that fight to rise up in me, to bring down my very strong enemies, to bring down the lies. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and not loving our lives to the death. Part of that testimony is to the spirit world where Satan dwells. We say, "You shall not have authority over me." And this becomes our testimony to heaven and earth. That's what I'm learning, you know. It's becoming my testimony. It is the secret place of the Most High where God takes away my strength and transfers to me his strength to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. I die daily, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall cringe before you. So when I saw the vision of the swords piercing through the darkness, the onslaught of lies that Satan was throwing my way, when my worship to the Lord went up with the word, and I can't even put it in strong enough English, you know, it did. The kingdom moved backwards. And it was as if the kingdom of darkness was actually going under my feet. I could feel the enemy's terror because as I learned to trust the Lord's arm, his strength, nothing can stand against the arm of the Lord. This is part of what the Lord is trying to teach us. It is a fight we have to enter. It is part of our inheritance. It is the word of our testimony. Jesus is in the process of changing our testimony, and hell shrieks in terror that we are learning it. Because as we learn it and our testimony and confidence become Jesus, as we enter the land moving forward in his strength, we bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And I believe that's why Jesus let me see that. Oh, praise you, Lord. The Lord of armies is with you. Prepare ye to meet him. Possess the kingdom. Move forward in his strength and destroy all disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. Until every last enemy is under your feet. And this is becoming my bread. So it is, you know, and I know that's what he's doing with you. Praise you, Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We displace the authorities that rule in the air as Christ comes forth in us. As the Lord of armies rules in our hearts because we've laid down our life, Jesus may reign. The rule of Christ set in our heart. The kingdom of darkness moves backwards and the kingdom of God comes forth. We know Jesus as Savior, but he is coming to his church now as Lord. To be Lord, the work of the cross has to operate. I have to die every day. To give him his rightful place in my heart and let him be Lord of all. Prepare yourselves and make yourselves ready to meet him. And I sense that, you know, he's saying that. I'm coming, you know, get ready, prepare. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land. For every power and dominion is given now into your hands. and you with ears that hear the trumpet, and you with hearts that understand. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land. Become living dead men. That's what I'm learning. Become living dead men. I die daily, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. Take your sword and arm yourselves. Enter the land. The Lord of armies is with you. Faith and obedience walk hand in hand. One will not go without the other. Faith is the seed, and obedience is the seed in action. Faith is dead only when it stands alone. It is activated through our obedience to the Word, and that obedience to the Word of God becomes activated in the secret place where we work out what God is working in. Walking in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit comes as a result of relationship, interaction with the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Eating and supping with him brings forth resurrection life. God brings us revelation of who we are in him as we do the invisible work of that time alone of prayer with God, allowing him to give us more of him, allowing him to take out of us all things that offend, and giving back to him all of who we are. He reaps us. He takes the grain of our life we lay in the ground and causes Christ to come forth. The new man, that invisible work that God does, starts to manifest itself through the change in our character and the revelation that God brings to us of who we truly are in him. We can reap Christ 30, 60, or 100 fold. It always depends on our choices. The Holy Spirit will reap us if we will yield our lives to him and make our goal Christ. If he is our goal and we abide in him, then fruit will come. Fruit that people can eat. We don't have to make it happen. That's what I'm finding out. It will happen as a result of abiding. In the abiding, the Father will prune us and take out of us all things that offend, and his fruit will come forth as a result of that abiding. Because God, and he will tear us and heal us, and the walking forward into the light will keep making manifest who we are in Christ, because God will allow us to see more and more of who we are in him. This sets us free to do and be all that God has created us to be and do, inward then outward. And I just wrote a prayer. Oh, Father, prune us more and more so that you may reap from us all that you want from us, to bring you glory, to bring your kingdom, that you may shine in all your splendor. And the Lord, I know the Lord is saying, he said, go after those things in your life that are displeasing to the Lord. You must let him become your strength to do this. Struggle with him in prayer until he releases you, and hold on to him until he blesses you. Work out what God works in the secret place. Nothing shall enter the kingdom of God that offends. So whatever still has authority over you and raises its head, get it out of your land of promise. Go after it and become all that God has called you to be. Let no enemy stay in your land. God has not called you to be at peace with anything in you that is not of him. Go after those enemies as the Lord leads you, city by city. He will go with you, and he will go with you. Slay them in the mighty power of Jesus. Do not let Satan condemn you and say that he is or they are too strong for you. Start wielding your sword and go forward in the mighty power of the Lord. The land is yours. It is not Satan's. It has been given to you by God. So go in and possess it. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, he has given to you. That's the vision of entering the land. Go in and possess it. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. The refiner is at the door, and he is shaking all things out of his kingdom that offend. And when I had that first vision, and the whole vision, every time we were all singing together, by mercy me, holy, 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 everything was shaking. It's just shaking. And multiple things were going on at the whole time. And as they were worshiping God, wherever they moved their hands, glory filled up. Everything was full of God's glory. But I understand, you know, as the Lord just works in me, he helped me understand now more what the shaking is. And it's because his kingdom is coming. And he's shaking out of his kingdom everything that is offensive. and whatever is in us that is offensive, he is shaking it out of us. And it's an awesome, wonderful thing, but it's also terrifying. But it's awesome. And he's just shaking. So he's saying, I'm at the door. The refiner is at the door, and he is shaking all things out of his kingdom that offend. The hour is here, and the shaking has begun. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In the first vision the Lord gave me, the angels and the heavenly hosts, the great cloud of witnesses, everything was shaking. The power and the glory of God were everywhere. It's just in this last month that God is giving me more clear understanding of what it is. And when he's revealing to me this next vision, his holy fire just came into my home again and started burning. And the reason it's shaken is because his kingdom is coming. And when he was doing this, is what I saw was living stones. I saw the kingdom and I saw living stones coming down. But every time they came down, they were shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking. And they were shaking more solidly onto the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which is the chief cornerstone. And they just kept shaking. And they finally came together and formed the temple of the Lord, his holy temple. And so God is saying, repent, you know, let me work my work in you. Just come to me. Behold, the bride has made herself ready. O living stones, find your place in the kingdom. Let me refine you and set you in your place. The Lord of armies is with you. Prepare ye to meet him. The king is coming. Possess the kingdom. Destroy all disobedience in your life until your obedience is fulfilled. Until every last enemy is under your feet. Drink the cup, eat the bread, and he will set you free. And you will enter the land and possess it and become the dwelling place of God. Labor to enter this rest. That rest is already there. You just enter it. And what he's wanting you to learn too is to dance. He's wanting you to learn to dance above the thick darkness that Satan throws at you. He wants you to begin to sing there. And as you do, you will become more and more free of the lies of Satan. Gaze upon, look upon the one who laughs with you. As you overcome your very strong enemies, they will be grasshoppers in your eyes. Learn to reign in your affliction. Press into it. As you do, it loses its power. And Christ comes forth in you. And it brings the kingdom. Look up to the heavens and see Jesus. He is laughing. See him laugh and laugh with him. Dance on your afflictions and see Christ reign in your heart. And that's what I feel the Lord is wanting you to know. And that's what he's doing in my life. I'm learning to dance in my afflictions. I'm learning to dance. And just, I don't even know where God's taking me sometimes, you know. I don't even see how he can deliver me from some things. But I just enter into prayer. And I actually saw Jesus walking the earth in a robe of, just a servant's robe. Not in a royal robe, but in a servant's robe. And he was saying, will not anyone enter this intercession with me? And he says, will not anyone become servants? Will not anyone enter this intercession with me? And it was a groan that he was walking. It was a solitary place that he's walking with the Father that he did for us. And he is giving us that opportunity to enter that in with him. And it wasn't like a condemning thing. It was like an inviting. He was inviting. He's saying, you know, will you not enter into that with me? So I'm just saying, yeah. That's what I want to do, Lord. I want to enter into that with you. And, you know, the Apostle Paul is my favorite apostle. And I used to always think, well, I can never be like him. And I think, well, and if I can't ever be like him, how can I even be a hundredfold? You know, how can I be, you know, it says 30, 60, or a hundredfold. How could I be a hundredfold, Lord? Well, what's happening is I can't even think of not being a hundredfold. I want to be 100-fold. And what I'm finding is it doesn't matter what Paul did, that's what God called him to. And if I just enter in what God calls me to, I can be 100-fold. And I want him to consume me. And I want that. I want his will in my life. And I know that in the times we're living, you know, if we keep entering in and when things get really hard, you know, God will make it just, it'll just happen. You know, when it says, arise, shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It'll just happen if we're walking forward in Jesus. It will come and it will happen as we walk forward in him. So we can be 100-fold, even if we just wash dishes and clean house or whatever. Yes.
You want to tell them about this morning?
Yeah, this morning when everybody was worshiping and toward the last song, what was that last song when you were doing the gold? Yeah. And when you were waving the gold.
Yes, and all that.
I saw gold flying all over. It was just like holy gold, just gold. And the Lord was just completely inhabiting this place, you know, with his glory. He was just, well, he was inhabiting your praises. He was so, and then I saw light lift, you know, and his light, you know, his glory coming down. So and his love for you is enormous. That's what I, you know, you just need to know. And even when you're going through your hardest time, his love for you is enormous. And, you know, he's well able. And I mean, me standing up here right now is a miracle. It's a complete miracle. So, you know, he just keeps bringing you to the end of yourself. He brings you to the cross. He brings you to death. And if you stay there and, you know, you die, Christ will come forth. And I just hope that's a blessing. Praise God. It's all yours, Pastor.
Brother Fortin used to say that when you're playing your instruments, God is in the instrument. God is in the instruments. And I'm not going to preach tonight. That was enough. And that was good. Yeah. That was solid. But I did want to call your attention to one scripture. And I think it's in Daniel, the 9th chapter, about the shaking, which also, you know, is in Hebrews 12. But this is something that really, I think, will be helpful. I thought about it quite a lot. Ezekiel Daniel. I want the place where it says he is Antichrist ascended up and tore down the host. Now, what verse is that? It says that he tore it. Tears down, he ascended up. I think it's in the 9th chapter of Daniel. What's going on here is that in the NIV, it's very good, and it fits everything that Valerie said exactly. Can't somebody find it? How come we can't find it? I can't find it, I'm on my glasses. Yeah. Well, we've got this little print. And it says he has set it up. Well, I'll be clear. I was going to preach that. That's enough. We had a good day today. And by the way,
Daniel 8, verse 9.
Daniel 8, 9. Can you flip that one?
That's where the horn grows to the beautiful land that we want.
I think so. Bill, can you put that one up? Thank you, sir. And we'll confirm what you said. Yeah. All right, now I want you to notice that because it's so unusual and it's something that we don't usually think of. That horn evidently is Antichrist.
Started small, grew in power, and it grew until it reached the host of the heavens. Now see, we don't think of Satan having access up to the throne. See, we don't think of that. But it's clear in the scripture. And notice it threw down some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. Now, we've seen that in our time. We've seen ministers that were greatly exalted, and you know they were at the right hand of God in Christ, and yet they fell. And see, the devil's lie is about this eternal security that once you're in Christ, you can't be touched. That's not true. It's always dangerous. And that's why it says in Revelation, be careful that no one take your crown. See, because it's possible to make a great start and then end up in the mud. And we need to know that. Now, notice what it says carefully, because it follows what Val said. It set itself to be as great as the prince of the host. And I don't know if any of you are following the world net daily, but the things that are happening morally, in this country, I can't even say them because they're nasty. And they're being accepted. Everybody's, oh, what's the big deal? But now notice, this is very important. It took away the daily sacrifice him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. See, that's what Christ said in Matthew, that there be trouble that there had never been before. But now notice the reason. Because of rebellion. And see, that's what Valerie said. See? The reason everything is being shaken is because, and it'll shake them right out from the side of God. See, it said the host of the saints. I can't impress that on you too strongly. That's what we're coming into. We're not safe. We are not safe. And the only thing that can keep you in the time of shaking is to be absolutely obedient to Christ. And I've been preaching it here for 32 years. What God is emphasizing today is not my will, but yours be done. That's what he's emphasizing today. And it's because of rebellion, and God's people are rebellious. They are rebellious. The believers are rebellious. You talk to them about taking up their cross, they don't want to hear it. They're rebellious. And they're going to be shaken right out of the kingdom unless they repent. That's the day we're in. That's the day we're in. This stuff that Valerie's telling you, every word, I couldn't disagree with a word. It was all exactly right. Exactly right. And I don't know how she gets that over in Kansas. But she's got it perfect. That's exactly what God is doing. Don't get a swell head over that, Valerie. Yeah. That's exactly what God is doing. Everything that she said, the shaking, the sword going up, God in the instruments. God is in the instruments. And God was here this morning. From the get-go, God was here. And I was praying yesterday. I said, God be with us tomorrow morning. And he was. He was. So the whole thing, so Val, you're right on target. And we all need to be very close attention, because we're coming down to the conflict of the ages, and a lot of people that are Christian. And who was it that told us the other day that who was it that was telling us the purpose of the problems that are coming is to twofold? It's to bring people closer to the Lord, and it's to comb out of the churches. Who was it that said?
Margaret,
that's exactly right. Believe me, people, I don't think 20 years from now you'll recognize the United States. I really believe that. I don't think 20 years, and we can see it all. I mean, you can see it. It doesn't take a crystal ball to see what's happening in our nation. And we don't like to think about it. We don't like trouble. We like to get up in the morning and the water runs out of the tap and the coffee's hot and we don't want our life changed, but I'm telling you it's going to be changed. And we'll be fine if we are obedient to Christ. But if we're like the average church person, now look here, we're a corporal's guard tonight, and Brother Smitter said she's going to give her vision. Well, people at home watching the television with the wrong vision. Now, I know some of them come a long way, and I understand that. But some of the people in other countries that are paying the price they are for the gospel would laugh if we said, well, you know, it's not convenient. So, guys, we're on the right track. And we've got to, now that was a word to us tonight from God. That was God. Amen. That was God. And he wants us to know he loves us. And the devil's real. And everything is going to be shaken down until it's established on Christ. And where does it say that in the New Testament? The end of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Everything will be shaken. And it's going to be shaken starting at the throne of God. People that are there in Christ are going to be shaken because God wants to see if they are going to obey Christ, make him king. See what Valerie said? If the big thing was Savior, now he's coming to us as Lord. It's a shift. It's a shift in Christian thinking. It's not forgive, forgive, forgive. It's obey, obey, obey. So that was really good, Val, and I'm glad that you got that from the Lord. That's really tremendous. Well, amen. Amen. Here, Mother. I'll rip this off. So, anyway, let's stand. We've had a great day in the Lord. Praise God. He was here this morning, and then we got a good word like that. We need to hear from the prophets. That's the voice of a prophet. I don't care if she is a lady. Another prophet here is going to talk to us.
Just a little anecdote. When we were going to use the song Face Down, the Lord showed me to sing that we would dance to it, and he showed me that this gold stuff going around here, and so I was looking on the internet, and I was looking at this gold stuff going around, and so I was looking on the internet to see what we could use, and I found those billows, and the picture looked like they were gold when they. But so when they came in the mail, I was kind of disappointed because they were kind of yellow and red, not really gold. And
gold is yellow and red. I haven't seen much, but I think that's the color. All right, a great day in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. He's so good.
Put a spirit of fight in us, Lord. Put a spirit of fight in us.
Hallelujah.
Put that spirit of fight in us, Lord. Go on. Get the victory. Praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Valerie, come up and we'll lay hands on you here and pray. Go back there to the houses. They'll be there when you get there.
Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our sister. Thank you for the work you're doing in the earth. Thank you for the work you're doing in each of us, Lord. Thank you that you're making it visible to us through revelations, Lord, however they come, whether they're through visions or through the lives and examples of others, Lord, or coming from your word. However it is, Lord, you're speaking to us reality. You're speaking to us truth. And, Lord, as in these days, Lord, the spirit of Antichrist is culminating. It's coming to a head, Lord. We feel it and sense it, and will soon be manifest in a human being, Lord. And that sense that we heard tonight, Lord, that he'll be able to reach up, Lord. There's so many people, Lord, who are relying on their religious beliefs, Lord. They're just relying on their religious beliefs, and they're standing around the throne, and they're in your presence, and they're your people, but they're not standing on their relationship with you in humanity. Humility in worship, in repentance, and in obedience. They're affiliated by religious affiliations and beliefs and whatnot, Lord. It says that they're going to be torn down, Lord. They're going to be torn down. They're going to be torn down, and I believe it, Lord. There's going to be many that think they know you and they know all about everything, and they're going to be torn down because the Antichrist is going to deceive them, because they're going to look at that and they're going to think, maybe this really is God. Maybe this really is right. Maybe there's something right there, Lord, because their heart is not hearing from you. Their heart is not hearing from you. Now, Lord, you've spoken to us tonight, to Valerie. And we thank you, Lord. Okay, she's isolated out there, Lord, in Kansas. But it tells us, Lord, that we don't have to be in Poway at Mount Zion Fellowship to hear from God. The way we hear from God is to be in that secret place. And there's some that of us here that are in the church and hear Pastor Thompson and everything else, and we don't go in our secret place. We don't spend time there, and we're not hearing from you. God, help us. You're warning us. You're telling us. This is where I am speaking, in the secret place. I'm speaking to those who will listen, who will come. And Lord, you're walking in your intercessory garments, looking for those who will come into that place and pray with you. And you're speaking to us. Lord, I pray. It's in the eyes of man, it's not a high calling. It's not a high calling. The people aren't going to look at it and go, oh, wow, what a wonderful... People won't even know what's going on.
Yes.
It's just a secret place. The only one who's going to know is you. And you will reward openly, but you will see it and it will be done in secret. Lord, give us grace. Give us grace to not seek preeminence. Give us grace to not seek to be seen or heard. Give us grace, Lord, to obey you, to serve you, to do your will humbly, gratefully, with cheerfully, when no one knows a thing about it.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Because you are worthy. Because you are Lord. Because you are our Savior. Because you love us with a love we cannot grasp. Thank you. Thank you for demonstrating it to us tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for demonstrating it to us this day. Lord, we pray for our sister. We thank you for her, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing in her life. We thank you for the anointing that's upon her, Lord. Give her grace and strength, Lord. Give her confidence, Lord. Give her confidence, Lord. That if you open up any doors for her to speak, she'll do it. Just like the dark place. Okay, she hasn't got the foggiest idea where it is she's going to go or whatever. And then God says, okay, step here. Give her that grace. Okay, fine. There's a progress. There's a progress. It's dark. Hallelujah. You're the darkness. That's comforting. Walk in it. Bingo. Don't have to worry that we're going to stumble or fall. And if we do, it'll only be because you allow it to teach us something. You're good. You're good. So, Lord, I believe you will open some doors for her, Lord. Open. Now let her just step in them, Lord. And let her step in them in confidence, knowing you're the one who sent her there. Not to look around, because it's just going to be dark when she gets there anyway. But when she looks at her feet, she'll see the light and the glory and the earth, and she's doing what God said to do. That's all she needs to know. That's all she needs to know. She's not responsible beyond that, Lord. You will be responsible for the outcome, because you are faithful and you are good and you want to do a work in the earth, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else has a prayer.
Lord, you don't just show her this so that she can be at peace, but that so she can be alert. And you're giving her a knowledge of what is coming, even as you did to Israel, and how you wept over them and said, I warned you, I told you, I raised my prophets up early to talk to you. And in this, it's happening for our benefit as well. But Lord, help her to realize that the gates of hell not only will not come against her successfully, but that she will successfully come against them.
Amen.
See, they shall not prevail. They shall not be able to resist. They shall not prevail.
Amen.
But in Christ you shall prevail.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know in the deepest of your heart this is not for you.
Yes.
Much as you appreciate, it is not for you. You appreciate that God is cleansing you, but it's because they that minister unto the Lord must be holy. They that bear the vessels must be holy. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, Kansas, Poway, wherever it be, Bakepia, we are at home in you. We speak peace to her enemy. that he not conquer.
Mallory, as you were speaking, I heard the Lord say a couple of times, and the word became flesh. And it was almost as if when you talk, you use the scripture to express what is happening. And it was kind of a different take on the word becoming flesh to you. Does that make sense mm-hmm. to you? In that he is saying that the word is becoming your present reality. It is not just an obscure thing or something you read, but the word is becoming flesh in you. It is becoming present in the earth through these things that he's showing you. And he also said the darkness and the light are the same to him, and that's why we don't fear the darkness. I think that's in Psalm 139, that the darkness and the light are the same to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Go with God, Valerie. Are you?